Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties? So she poops at parties, so and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan. New York streets
will kill us. All right, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Mondays are going well. We've got a lot still to get to in the final hour, including looking ahead to tonight's national championship game. But joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is our favorite sports writer out there, probably the best one walking the planet, Wright Thompson, senior writer for ESPN. He is the author of the new book, The Cost of These Dreams, Sports Stories and Other Serious Business. Wright, thank you so much for the time. This is a bucket list thing for us to be able to interview you here today. For those who haven't had a chance to look at this newest project of yours or hear about it, maybe a little backstory. What was the reasoning behind it? What was the inspiration behind it and the basis of the new book?
Well, I mean, on one level, Penguin agreed to publish it, so I just jumped before they changed their mind. But it's, you know, it's interesting to me. The book is called The Cost of These Dreams, and it's a collection of mostly profiles, but stories about some famous and some not famous athletes, but everybody who really wants something and is struggling to get it. And it's interesting because when I had to read it aloud for the book on tape, which is just a nightmare. And I mean, in a booth, hearing yourself, you know, you start to go loopy after 4 days. But hearing them all together, I was really sort of shocked by how they, when read together between two covers, acquired a collective, almost universal power that they didn't have individually, because they're really getting at, you know, big, important ideas that matter to all of us, not just to athletes. I mean, this idea that you spend 45% of your life trying to be something, like 10% of your life being it, and then 45% of your life having been it, and trying to make sense of all of these phases. And I think that the book and the way that the stories work together really get at something universal and important there, which, by the way, is a total accident. I mean, I'm not nearly smart enough to figure out how to do that. It's just luck.
Right. When was the first story you wrote where you realized you could connect really well with somebody on what their story is? Because we mentioned it to kick it off. We really do think you're the best sports writer out there. And whether you agree with that or not, doesn't matter to us. But when we read your stuff, you just have this talent, this special ability to connect with an individual and really give us the full backstory to everything. What was there a piece or time in history where that kind of clicked for you, that you were really good at that?
I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, I've felt in the moment, certainly, that, like, you know, I'm really talking to this person. You know, I think I try to be empathetic, and I try to, before I get in the room with them, try to have spent a lot of time thinking about what it would be like to have walked their mile, you know, and to try to try on their life. And you know, I've certainly, I mean, I've been very lucky in that sports figures, a lot of them deal with stuff that I was dealing with. And so I feel like the questions were deeply informed by my own experience. And humans aren't that different. You know, we like to think we are, but we're not. And we all struggle with the same things. Like, I don't believe that an insurance salesman in Portland wants to be successful at their job any less than Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's trying to do the best they can and to make sense of everything that they knowingly and unknowingly trade for it along the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think try to be empathetic.
And we're talking with Wright Thompson, author of The Cost of These Dreams, Sports Stories and Other Serious Business, senior writer for ESPN. I mean, you highlight certain, you know, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Pat Riley, Urban Meyer, some of the folks that were in this book. What were, I guess, just in talking to them and finding things out, what were the crazy moments and the crazy things that stood out and realizing what those guys had to put through to reach their dreams?
Well, I mean, you think about somebody like Ted Williams, who was as famous in his day as a human being could get. And, I mean, you know, and Ted was just, I mean, he was not just famous like an athlete. He was also incredibly important in the culture. Ted Williams' mother never once saw him play a professional baseball game. And when she died, he flew home to San Diego. I think she was living in San Diego at the time. Paid for the funeral, then went to the house and destroyed all of the family photographs. Like, that's how much hurt he still felt. Wow. This was after his famous home run and his last at bat. I mean, he had already become Ted Williams and was in the process of letting go of Ted Williams, and he still carried all of that hate and that rage with him. And in many ways, you know, he got just as into fly fishing as he did baseball. And I feel like both of those were just ways he coped with the hurt he felt and to keep his mind distracted. I don't think to him there was that much of a difference between his very public baseball career and his very private fishing life. And I don't think that he wanted to hit a home run any more or less than he wanted to catch a fish. I think that was how he dealt with his pain and how he managed his day.
What was your most eye-opening piece, the one where maybe you had an idea of what it would be like and it turned out to be a lot different than that?
Well, I mean, they all end up a little different or sometimes drastically different. I mean, I try very hard. I'm not always successful because human nature is human nature, but you just don't want to prejudge anything mm-hmm. until you get there. You know, a lot of these travel stories that I do where I go to a place, especially like I do a lot of European and international football, soccer, and those are always really interesting because I'm exploring places that I don't know much about and that are very, very old and really ancient ideas and forces and tribal urges bury and morph and metastasize and move through the culture in really interesting ways. So I find a lot of those interesting. I don't know. I mean, they're all interesting in a way. I mean, if they weren't, I think we'd have to go do something else.
Yeah. We're talking with Wright Thompson. He's joining us now. Cost of These Dreams is his new book, The Sports Stories and Other Serious Business. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. We just got the advanced copy, and I can't wait to dive into the entire thing. I believe there's an anecdote in here, or maybe I saw it on another interview, that you had a chance to watch basketball and scout with Michael Jordan.
Oh, I spent an entire night sitting in his condo, drinking wine, smoking cigars, watching back-to-back-to-back NBA games, which is just wild.
How do you even begin to try and sum that up to the person who will never have an opportunity to do that?
Well, I mean, and it's going to sound weird, but I mean, I knew how sort of rare it was to get to see that, and I'm much more scared of failure than I am intimidated by Michael Jordan. So I was locked in. I was working, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I wasn't going to blow it. And, but it is interesting to be in the presence of an exceptional mind at work and watch what he watches in the game. And I mean, at one moment I had my notebook out. I'm like, can you explain the triangle to me? And he takes the notebook and he draws like the basketball court and then he starts putting X's. And it was just my face was melting because he was like, well, all right, that's me and that's Scotty and that's Dennis. And I'm just like, oh my God, he's talking about the Chicago Bulls. And he's like, so I go here and then Scotty goes here. And then I'm just like, oh my God, the Scotty and me in this story this guy is telling me in drawing is Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And that sort of made my head explode.
Yeah. Well, it almost sounds like, right, that you have that ability. You talk about being locked in. Like, I'm not going to blow this opportunity. You know how special it is. And you do a fantastic piece on all these different stories and athletes. Is there anybody maybe anywhere in the world where they would maybe shake you a little bit, where you go, oh, I can't blow this, and then you see them, you meet them, and maybe something comes through and you don't act how you normally act with other people?
You mean like Charlize Theron?
Oh.
No, she's looking for a boyfriend, by the way, right?
She just needs somebody to ask.
Let me just tell you that I'm not what she's looking for. I'd have to move into a gym and also move into a money factory. I think I'd freak out if I met Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul McCartney.
Imagine, he was a Beatle, and being at the center of that kind of cultural revolution and having seen it from inside those cars and inside those airplanes and from those stages, he has such a perspective into, just humanity that so few people have. I would probably freak out if I met Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Chris Farley type moment, right? Where you're just like, remember that one time?
Yeah. So remember when you, like, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? Yeah. We're talking about Wright Thompson, senior writer for ESPN, his new book, The Cost of These Dreams, Sports Stories and Other Serious Business. I was curious to ask, I feel like everybody goes through this in certain aspects of their life, but did you hint any level of regret from these guys? I mean, because you have to pour so much into getting to that point professionally, and you mentioned the Ted Williams story, which is wild, just about how he couldn't let certain things go from his childhood. Was there any level of regret that they poured so much into their professional career on missing out on other aspects of life?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I mean, in some ways, this is almost the perfect place to end, because it's like this gets at what the whole thing is about. But it's like, absolutely. I mean, Michael Jordan is absolutely aware that he has become entitled. He is absolutely aware that the person he made himself into to be great at basketball is just not suited to be around people and is working to change.
Yeah.
And he is actively engaged in a sort of high-level thought experiment looking at what it means to have been Michael Jordan. I mean, it took him a long time to get there. I mean, there 10 or 12 years went by after he retired until he was even sort of capable of doing this. And I mean, that is the work of the rest of his life, in the way that it is in Paul McCartney's. What do you do when you used to be a Beatle? Well, Paul is, he's a pretty good model. If you're famous and you want to know how to handle just soul-crushing, earth-bending fame, you could do worse than to be like Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You know, right, I just wanted to say real quick, we're going to let you go here. Glad everything ended up being okay, because I know last year that car crash had happened, and I think a lot of people that enjoy your stories and enjoy everything you do, man, we're just glad you and your buddy ended up being okay, because those pictures were pretty gnarly.
No, dude, it was ridiculous. I mean, we looked at the car, and we're standing out there bleeding in the rain. It was raining, so we sort of looked like extras on a John Wick movie, you know? And it was like, and we're looking at each other, and we just started laughing. I was just like, we should definitely be dead. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. So I appreciate that so much, and thanks for your interest in the book and all of your kind words. That just means the world to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, he's the best sports writer walking the planet. Check out his new book, Scott's of The Cost of These Dreams, Sports Stories and Other Serious Business. Wright Thompson, thanks so much for the time, man. Best of luck, and we'd love to catch up with you again down the road.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great stuff. Wright Thompson, man. Go check out the book. We just got the advanced copy of it. We started pouring through it a little bit. He's done some great interviews across all sorts of spectrums here in the last couple of days or week or so, just pubbing it. Can you imagine that? Sitting around, a couple of bottles of wine, a couple of cigars, breaking down NBA film with Michael Jordan.
You know, I marvel at people that can do something at an exceptional level. Him writing is one of those things.
Yeah.
And him simple, like, well, it's a big opportunity, I'm not going to blow it. There is a confidence in doing that that I don't think anybody, including you and me, even can comprehend. Because sitting with Michael Jordan for a game, for three games, having a cigar, you think it's just going to be normal at some point, right? Like, oh, this is a Michael Jordan.
You settle into it eventually.
I don't
right?
think most of us could do no. that. I think we would still, at every moment of being around him, it's still popping in your head. This is,
oh my God,
the greatest basketball player maybe to ever live. And his ability to block that out, knowing how much more important it is to write a good, thorough piece, which his Michael Jordan Turns 50 piece is something I highly recommend everybody to read.
Yeah.
That in itself is an ability and skill that I would say 99% of the world doesn't own.
Well, he said Paul McCartney would get him to fanboy out. Who would get you to fanboy out the most? 55305. You got a chance to meet him. Watch a sport with him. We'll go through some of the other anecdotes in the story. It's wild stuff. And thanks again to Wright Thompson for joining us. That's next. We'll get back into the NCAA title game tonight coming up at the bottom of the hour. Back next on The Fan.
There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Welcome back in, 221. Virginia, Texas Tech, are you excited? Get to that coming up, bottom of the hour.
I am. There's nothing else on tonight. The NBA bows down and allows them to have a standalone game.
Giants and Padres, brah.
Oh, you also have the Braves and Rockies.
There you go. 540. Are you guys at Coors Field tonight?
We're at Coors, yeah.
At Coors, ooh.
Yeah, they were flying out last night.
Yeah, my Giants could use a trip to Coors. We're a little offensively challenged.
Dodgers
right
are
now.
At the Cards.
You got the Cubs coming up. I'd recommend that as a baseball
fan. That would be
fan.
Nice. Series against the Cubs would be nice, yeah.
The White Sox are pretty bad.
They could use
the White Sox
they
are horrible.
Right,
Cubs are up 10-0 right now on the Pirates at the home opener at Wrigley.
We got some baseball stuff, by the way, to get to tomorrow. The Puig taking on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates team needs to be discussed.
You hate Puig. You got to admit that's an amazing
dude. That's one of the
photo.
Coolest baseball pictures I've ever seen.
I'm with you.
Like that thing needs to be framed and in the MLB Hall of Fame.
Did you see it, Swigard? The picture?
No, I didn't see the
There's
picture.
There's a still shot. So he's tied up for most of the fight. They're holding him back. Yeah. Can he hold me back, bro?
Well, I think he likes to fight.
Oh, he does.
No,
he gets into
he'll
it.
Go out. There was some Dodger stuff where if he gets loose with the right forearm, it's being swung.
Oh, yeah, look out. Yeah, so he finally breaks loose from being held back. And then there's like a still shot behind where you can see his back going at the entire Pittsburgh Pirates team.
Yep. It's a really cool shot.
It's like
shot.
Him in just a sea of yellow.
Yeah.
And it reminded people, Game of Thrones nerds, of the Jon Snow scene when the entire army's charging at him. And he's just standing there with his sword in the middle of the field.
Also reminded me of like 300.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a 300 vibe.
10,000 men coming out. Yeah. He's by himself, like, screw you.
And we'll see if Chris Davis, we'll get to that to close out the show because he's going for history. We were talking, so Wright Thompson, like, some of the notes in this book, they're just wild. That Ted Williams story was crazy. Like, he never, like, that's how ticked off he was at his family, that his mom died and he went in and destroyed all the family photos after she passed away.
That was my favorite anecdote, even with the Jordan story,
like,
was...
What?
I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about Ted Williams to that level. And I think it also is a snapshot of certain people are driven by different things.
Yeah.
Jordan probably has this, obviously, with why he was as great as he was. Like, Ted Williams was addicted to baseball and fishing just to keep his mind off of how crappy his family situation was.
Well, and I think the whole theory behind the book is an interesting one of what are you sacrificing to pursue where you want to go professionally? Like, the cost of being Michael Jordan, the cost of being... Tiger Woods. I think that's something that Tiger Woods has done a good job recently acknowledging a little bit more of, like after his career obviously hit the fan and the back injury stuff happened, acknowledging shortcomings in his personal life, not spending as much time with his kids, like all the things that he sacrificed along the way to get there, because it's a crazy level of dedication to be one of the greatest of all time.
I also think for a lot of those guys, it can be just as challenging dirt to open up. I mean, let's take Tiger. Most people, when you say Tiger Woods, like the cliche label is robot, right? He's a robot. Well, yeah. He advertised. And in some ways, I don't think that's changed at all. I think in many other facets, and I'm coming from a very casual golf guy here, I think you can identify how he is different, right? Personality, he's more, I don't know, he seems a little more outgoing, a little more conversational.
Dude, there was a
more
moment.
More willing to laugh at himself when the sure. guy wore the t-shirt at the tournament of his DUI picture. He yeah. wouldn't have laughed at that 10 years ago. And I right. think a lot of what reality has dealt with, dealt him, has brought him to a humbling point of like, yeah, I mean, I am the greatest name in golf maybe ever. I'm not going to allow myself to not enjoy, even if it's on my own expense, the humor in life.
There was a great moment at the Players' Championship when he was playing with Kevin Na on Sunday, and Kevin, they were both out of it at this point, but playing together. And Tiger, I think, ended up getting it going okay kind of late on Sunday. But Kevin Na, it was the 17th, the Island Green, the famous Island Green there. And Kevin Na hit his putt, and he was so pissed at himself after he hit it, he didn't think it was going to go in. He immediately started to reach for the ball, like, before it got in the hole, like he was going to, he was just ticked. And he almost took the ball out of the hole before it got in. It ended up going in. He started laughing. So then Tiger was up next with a short birdie putt, and he hit his birdie putt, and he mimicked him and did the same thing just to make fun of him. And there was a scene of them walking off the green on 17, and he was just, he was howling, laughing extremely. And it was one of those moments where you just kind of thought, like, that Tiger never used to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's just showing that level of emotion. But it did get us to thinking, because Wright Thompson got to do some unbelievable stuff to write this book and got some unbelievable behind-the-scenes access to certain guys.
I'm diving into that book tonight.
Who do you fanboy out over the most? Because mine, I go off the grid. And
are you going alive?
I'm still alive.
Okay, because mine would have been Ali. I don't think I could...
Like, to sit around and watch a boxing match with Ali?
I couldn't form a competent sentence, I don't think, around Muhammad Ali. Because I've been around a few big-name athletes before. And I'll tell you, whether you're media or you're fan, you still, when you see them, you do get that quick, like, you know, like if Magic Johnson walked into the Moda Center, and I'm covering the Laker game, and he comes laughing around the corner, I am going to, for about 5 seconds, be like, oh my God, it's Magic Johnson. You know what I mean? I'm going to be starstruck in the that moment. Having a conversation, hanging out with somebody is different. And I think there's almost too many people I would probably fanboy out of and not know how to keep it cool with.
Yeah. To me, it's easy. And it's the guy it's Michael Jordan. Like, that's the biggest athletic name of my life. Tiger Woods, to me, is a close second.
Don't you think Michael has dealt with it so much that he would make you comfortable?
No, I don't think he would care. I don't think he would care about me.
No, I'm saying if you were in a room, if he knew he was going
to
be around you.
Like, setting this up to sit down with him?
Because he knew Wright Thompson was coming up to the
hotel. Maybe, yeah.
I think Michael is in, because I've heard really great stories. There was a story in Seattle that I heard on a podcast. Michael Jordan playing the Sonics during the finals was coming to Seattle, and he needed somebody to take him golfing. And Peter Jacobson's friend is this guy that ran a course, and he got his contact. Michael Jordan called him and said, hey, I'm coming to town. Would you be willing to pick me up at Key Arena after practice? And the guy didn't believe it was really Michael Jordan. And eventually he found out it was. Anyways, long story being short, Michael Jordan had a great time with him for 2 days, hooked him up. They had a lot of laughs, dove for a ball in the front row right next to the guy. I mean, the middle of an NBA Finals game. Dove with a Sonics player for the ball. It was the guy that he golfed with, and he turned up and he goes, oh, so this is why you didn't want my tickets. Your seats are a lot better. In the middle of an NBA Finals game, Michael Jordan did that. He seems like he would be a very accommodating individual knowing who he is.
I still wouldn't be able to get over it, though, no matter how accommodating the person was.
Really?
Like, sitting next to him and having, like, sitting there watching an NBA game.
Yeah. Mine is probably...
It's freaking Michael Jordan.
I know, and somebody texts us in, and I hate that I sound like I'm copying somebody, but I thought about this during the break. Mine is Tom Hanks.
Are you going non-athlete? Okay.
Non-athlete, yeah. Okay. Of everybody that could leave
you... Hanks. You like, want to watch Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks and break down the acting?
You're stuttering the most. Yeah. You're like, you're not yourself. You're Tom flushed. Hanks, it's probably Tom Hanks for me.
My non-athlete one would be Vin Scully. Mm. Getting to sit and watch a couple of baseball games with Vin and just... I'd just say, can you just talk to me for like 3 hours? Like, just go.
Yeah, till it's the eighth inning and the Giants are down a run.
No, you just go. Shut up, Ben. I wouldn't care. They could lose 38 to nothing in that game. It wouldn't matter. Just hearing him talk for 3 hours and all the stories, I would love it.
Swag?
Fortunately, when we on primetime got to interview Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, and that's as good as
that's still one of the coolest pictures.
Yeah, and so I went and met and brought him around to where primetime was set up and stuff. And fortunately, I didn't have to say too much or like conduct the interview because I was.
How fast was the heart beating?
It was beating fast.
Yeah. Imagine interviewing him.
That was cool.
Rob had to have been like,
yeah, where do you even start?
So what's it like to be a legend?
Because these guys have been interviewed so many times. It's like, where do you even begin an interview like that?
Do you even drink your drink anymore? Is it annoying that everybody copies you?
Yeah.
Like my favorite moment is one of my favorite all-time internet moments. There was a guy that was doing a video and he happened to be in the place because he knew Tom Hanks was there. And I'm sure everybody's seen it. It's a video where he meets Hanks and he asks Tom Hanks, the one thing I want to do with you was the back and forth from Big.
Yeah, yeah, on the Big
Shimmy,
piano.
Shimmy,
yeah.
And he started doing it, and he knew every word, and he did it perfectly with Hanks. And I envy that because I don't think even if I knew every word, I could do that without choking.
Live up to the pressure
in
that moment.
That's one of the coolest internet moments I can remember.
It'd be like getting a chance to play golf with Arnold Palmer and stepping up to the first tee and just stripe and run
piping
right down
it.
The middle.
Yep.
I know I would duff it off the first tee. I totally would.
Or it just
I'd
barely
shaking,
go past
I'd
the
like,
ladies' tees.
Be looking back like, dude, it's Arnold Palmer, man. He's watching me play golf. So good stuff, right, Thompson? Go check out his book, man. It was so fun to talk to. He's the best sports writer on the planet, and getting a chance to talk to him was a really cool moment for us. So if you miss it, we'll podcast it after the show. You can go check it. Hey, the national championship game is tonight. Are you excited? Virginia and Texas Tech. We'll get back into that bad boy next. Well, we lost Sprague. He got fired. So if you want to apply for the show, just go ahead, 1080thefan.com. Oh, hey, what's up? Whew, we hired a new guy.
I know. I just got a text that said, hey, you're not there. They just started the segment. The ratings just dropped 88%. What's going on here?
I only account for 12%, huh? That sounds about right. Hey, we have a poll question out there. At Thurton Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. Are you excited for the game tonight?
You know,
take a guess at what the results are.
78% no. And I honest to God have not looked, so I don't
know. It's too bad because I think both teams execute what they do very, very, very well. I don't think you're going to see a ton of turnovers. I just think you're going to see a lot of 25-second possessions, and it's a matter of which team can make contested shots at a higher rate.
Mm.
I don't think you're going to see a lot of second-chance points. I think it's going to be a straight-up classic old college basketball game. Unfortunately, it's not going to be aesthetically pleasing to casual basketball fan.
Well, to Aaron Dickens' point, who we had on earlier, who covers Texas Tech, is there a chance, though, because everybody thinks it's going to be a certain game, that it's not?
There's always that potential,
well,
sure.
I think both teams, in the way they've been shooting it of late, I think both teams have real high potential to shoot over 50% from the field and make threes. Moody was unconscious for Texas Tech down the stretch. Culver, I think, could be the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the potential to be able to get his own shot against Virginia no matter what they do defensively. I don't know that DeAndre Hunter can do the same against Texas Tech. They're a little bit longer and a little bit more physical.
Well, the answer, by the way, on are you excited for this or not, which it's just fitting for our show, 69% of people, nice, say no, they're not excited for the game tonight. I also think there's a secondary question there, too, of who do you root for? Because I think there's compelling rooting interest for both. Texas Tech just being so out of left field and having a chance to win a national title.
It'd be Villanova, what, 84?
85.
Right.
85, it'd be Villanova
to me.
It's
random.
It's
like, what the hell, Texas Tech? What's going on here? Yeah. But for Virginia, too, I mean, maybe some people don't feel the sympathy for them. They hadn't been to a Final Four since, what, 1984? I think it'd been a long time.
Holden Polonese, Ricky Stokes.
Holden Polonese. They lost last year as a one seed, becoming the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed.
Yeah, a little
seed.
Redemption story
so
there.
I think there's compelling rooting angles on both sides. So I'm curious because we had multiple, with one person say Texas Tech, I'm rooting for them tonight. Another one, I'm rooting for Virginia to win one year after it. If they do, how does that feel for the players who were seniors last year? That stings a little bit.
Yeah, that one's going to...
stings the nostrils.
Well, and imagine if they lost the first matchup and then won the national championship and then they lose next year as a one seed to the 16 again. That'd be quite a three-year run. Look, you always have to find a dog in these fights, right? I'm not emotionally torn if my pick doesn't happen. I'm going Tech. I like the story of Texas Tech coming out of left field. We knew Virginia was going to be good in the regular season. We knew they would probably be a one seed. It's not surprising that Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and then DeAndre Hunter, I didn't know much about. And then this year, because of the draft stuff, you start reading about him. It's not shocking. Tony Bennett's a great coach, one of the best in the country. The Texas Tech story is fun. It's random. And I think we have one listener that keeps telling us that he picked it, but I haven't seen anybody else.
We do have one. That keeps
tweeting us. Adam keeps saying, I have Virginia, Texas Tech, and I think he has Tech beating Virginia. So that's a remarkable pick by him. But most people didn't. I mean, I picked Tech in the Final Four just out of sheer, like, okay, whatever. Who's going to win this region? I don't trust Gonzaga. I didn't know anything about them. So I'm going Tech, and I think they're a little more entertaining to watch.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying throwing some money on it, so that's going to help. We'll get to the gambling angle here in a moment. Somebody said the final is awesome because we need more blue bloods to always expect to be in it and win it. I got it changes your program. Like, you get to this point, you win. It did it for Nova. I mean, Nova was a quality program. They finally broke through and won their first title. Now they won, what, two of the last four?
Two of the last four, yeah.
Whatever, right?
Last year and 3 years ago.
That elevates your program to a whole nother level. And it will for Virginia, like, to break it down and win a national championship after the last year, especially as a one seed.
It's still hard to believe they didn't win a title when Ralph Sampson was there.
That's crazy,
that
right?
That team was so good. Well, and the ACC was loaded back then, don't get me wrong, but.
Right, I mean, and there's always rumors around Tony Bennett leaving, but. If he can win a national title.
Where's he leaving to?
Right.
He's established Virginia as a program.
So it's a huge moment for each program. And who knows? Maybe Texas Tech is the next up-and-coming basketball program that starts to dominate that state.
People making a good point here. Rooting for the guy with the betting ticket who refused to sell for $50,000. He wants $301,000. That could be one angle to look at it. You're rooting for one guy's bet out there that took a gamble on something that most of us would have never done. The other part, too, is I don't think I'll be upset by any means if Virginia wins. I will be happy if Tony Bennett is hoisting the trophy. I find him to be a really likable, smart coach.
I'm cool with that.
And any guy that can win in Pullman, Washington?
Yeah, yeah.
You probably deserve to have your career capped with at least one national championship.
Especially with what we've seen has happened in Pullman, Washington
since he left. I mean... Ken Bone couldn't do anything. Ernie Kent got fired.
Ooh, Ken Bone. Yeah, that's right.
Ken Bone.
The line on this game, Virginia, it just tells you what Vegas thinks. Virginia's favored by one. Right now I'm looking on Bovada. The over-under on Bovada currently is 119, which is one of the lowest numbers we've seen in the history of the championship game.
Well, the over bets in the last two didn't pay out very well. I'm going to take the over, optimistically hoping it goes a little different
so you're
than
going, you're getting to 60-60, you know, 60-61-60.
I could see this being 64-61.
Okay, you think we can get there?
Why not? Why not?
Live a little.
What is that? Good defense plus good defense equals no defense. Come on. That's a real math equation.
Yeah, I do hope. I do hope for just the sports fans' sake. Whenever you get to a moment like this, you want it to be a fun, compelling game. I'm of the opinion. I don't think that just because it's close, it's a good game. If you make that argument, you thought last year's Super Bowl was a good game. That wasn't. It was close, so at least it kept you around. But if this thing turns out to be an Oregon-style 53-49 final. Dude, that's not the way you want to send your sport out. I'm hoping we get a little bit more than that. I'm not asking for the moon here. I don't need 90-88 overtime thriller.
I mean,
it may be nice. I'm not expecting that out of Virginia and Texas Tech. You get me both 60 plus back and forth, some fun runs, maybe a little drama late, big shot. Boom. I'm on board with this bad boy.
I will take 91-88 overtime. If you guys could make that happen over there.
I'll offer that up. You'll take that. That's what you choose.
I felt bad, too, because you mentioned the vantage point for you when you went, but like we had a media writer on earlier, and he said, hey, I was supposed to be floor level, and I was probably 50 yards away from the court. That part of it does suck, but...
I think the spectacle is unbelievable.
Well, though. I believe that, but it also...
It's mind-boggling to walk in and see that.
You're watching a basketball game in a football stadium. That's kind of interesting.
And the one that I was in didn't have a great video board.
Oh, okay.
The Jumbotron in Glendale was not nice.
Do you think college basketball cares how they send out? Like, if it is 43-41, let's just go really crazy low. Do you think they care that much?
Because people are going to turn off the game.
Even if it's close?
I mean, if this thing is like...
Don't you think at least close incentivizes a reason to watch, even if it's crappy basketball?
What was the halftime of that... what was the halftime of the Texas Tech-Michigan score?
Oh, it was something...
Didn't they score them to 19?
Wasn't it like 21-19 or something?
I think it was 16.
I think it was 19. It was 27-19 or something like that.
I think it was 24-16.
I believe, though, that when you...
I'll go look it up right
now. Okay. I think when you have sporting events that there's some buzz around them as the game's going on, you garner more of an audience. So if it's entertaining...
It was 24-16.
24-16 at the half?
Yeah. I remember seeing that going, I'm glad I'm not watching that game.
God.
It was final was 63-44, so at least it was 39-28 in the second.
Well, let's play the fun game. Will this be a fun game to watch tonight? We'll answer that question on the other side.
It's going to be funner than you think.
Ooh, buzz him. Will this be entertaining and fun? 55305. Also, we have a baseball player that is reaching for history.
We have to be rooting for this guy.
And this needs to be discussed. That and the poll questions wrap up the show next on The Fan. And I'm bound to keep on riding. Oh, it's been a fun show. Tonight we wrap up the college basketball season.
That's an interesting point. Somebody says, no, no, and no. I watched the women's game last night, but won't watch tonight. Boring.
Didn't Baylor beat Notre Dame?
Yeah, what was that? It was 82-81.
Baylor had a huge lead,
yeah,
and
17.
Then their best player, one of their bigs, went down with a knee injury midway through the game.
Lauren Fox.
Ooh.
Cox.
That's what I said.
So
Baylor was up like 15, 16 points. Wow. Notre Dame came all the way back. And then the girl that hit the game-winning shot last year split two free throws that could have.
Yeah, she missed the first. And then she tried to miss the second, and she missed it. Or she made it.
Oh, she did. The Duke, R.J. Barrett did that.
Yeah,
he missed the first, then tried to miss the second, and went in.
Yep.
Somebody said, 5-5-3-5, better you today. Text line, I take the same attitude about close basketball final games with bad offense as I do with demolition derby on TV. This is a stupid slog, but let's see who wins. So it's a good way to go into it tonight.
It could be background. I mean, it's just on.
Sure. Somebody said, Brandon, I brought you sweatpants and a freezer at the beer cooler. The least you can do is give people a slight glimmer of hope for tonight. Will this game be fun and entertaining?
Well, what are you talking about? I just did.
Will it be
what
fun?
What did I do? I gave you hope. I'm the one buying tonight. You guys are the ones crapping
on
it.
No, Swigart's buying.
No,
I'm
buying. I'm in.
I'm just pooping on this party.
I think it's going to be a very well-played game, but by both these teams playing well, points are going to be hard to come by.
Points at a premium. So it will not be fun and entertaining.
Bet the over. Bet
depends on
over.
Your.
I know I'm your
the average casual person coming by and looking up, and if it's 24-20 at halftime, would think it's a total dud.
You know how I judge the entertainment level of sports games is how much of the game do I spend on my phone?
That's a good point.
Because we're gonna watch it professionally. We have to. But if this thing's ugly, I'm pulling out Twitter. I'm scrolling. What's on Instagram?
In terms of
weather forecast.
In terms of a baseball game, the random 2-1 game in the middle of a season, probably the only people that appreciate that are maybe the true baseball aficionado, or if it's your particular team. You get to the World Series and you get a 2-1 game where any at-bat at any point in time could change the complexion of a game. It's a little different. I think that might be what if any team goes on a 6-0, 8-0 spurt, that could be the difference in the game.
Are we to a point now where in years past, maybe we all kind of thought and felt the same way, but now it's like we want to crap on it. You know what I mean? Like we naturally have to go, well, it sucks. I don't want to watch this title game. It's like, but it's a title game.
We don't
do
that.
The Final Four blows.
We don't do that very often, though. Like with Duke, UNC Gonzaga, was anybody on the air poo-pooing that, saying this game's going to suck tonight?
No, and I know it doesn't happen every time. I just, if
Nova UNC game, last year Michigan was a little off the wall. But,
right, but if you don't have blue bloods or you don't have a rooting interest, I feel like we find that we're doing that more often than we did in the past.
You also add to the style, though. If these two teams average 85 points per game and we're known for explosive offense, like that's modern sports. We do that with any sport that's not high scoring.
But that's never been college basketball.
Yeah, but if this was Auburn and Texas Tech versus Virginia and Texus Tech, how much more sizzle would there be? There'd be quite a bit more sizzle.
Because Auburn would have proved that they can beat a defensive team.
Sure.
While Texas Tech continues
to
show
their stout. You have contrasting styles.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have two teams that truly do not have much basketball tradition. Although Virginia hasn't won, there's a lot of basketball tradition at Virginia.
You know what I thought about, too, on my drive into work? And we'll wait to see what happens. This can buck the trend. We've had nothing in the calendar year of sports.
Okay.
We've had nothing but crappy title situations. The Cavs got swept.
They did.
The Super Bowl sucked.
It did.
The World Series was a sweep.
Five, right?
Five.
But still,
Dodgers
same
got one,
GD thing.
Yeah.
Might as well have been.
Right.
That's true.
This could suck.
Blew out Alabama.
And Clemson blew out. Yeah, that was the other one I remember.
And he had blowouts in the semifinal games.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we're kind of on a streak where we're owed something amazing.
Yeah, give us something here,
right? This calendar year has not been kind to us sports fans.
Somebody said, Andrew just came up with a new analytic, FF phone factor.
So how many, are you gauging this on total minutes? Or are you going like...
That's just how I view. If it's compelling to me, I don't touch or talk to. Like, I'm focused. I'm enjoying the game and I'm into it.
But what if you use your phone for social media? So you're following
Twitter. That's different. That's different to me. If I'm just tweeting about something, I don't view that. But
if you're scrolling hot chicks on Instagram,
exactly,
in the middle of a game. Yeah.
If I'm trying to set looking at tee times for the coming weekend, what's the weather looking like for Saturday or Sunday?
Okay.
That's different to me.
Yeah.
That is me trying to find something else to engage my mind.
By the way, that listener was saying he was referencing me crapping in his Cheerios as a Blazer fan.
Oh, as a Blazer fan, yeah. That was a
previous text. He said, stop crapping in our Cheerios. And I said, well, let's stop acting like the Cheerios are gourmet breakfast.
Yeah.
There's a middle ground, I think, for both sides here,
sure,
by the way.
Sure. And somebody said, it's interesting enough to watch, not interesting enough to keep me from flipping the Mariner game back and forth. That's a good way to view it. Because I'm going to be watching a little Giants and Padres mixed in tonight.
Once I get dinner going, I'll probably strike up the old Braves Rockies game on my laptop and watch that on the Reddit while the basketball game's on.
Well, let's get to the real entertainment that's happening today. And this is going to begin in just over an hour. I don't know if he's in the lineup or not, but damn, am I hoping he's in the lineup. Chris Davis, remember when he hit all those home runs and said if he broke Maris's record, it would be the actual record because all the steroid users cheated. Mm-hmm. Well, he hit a lot of home runs in a short period of time, and he's in the
lineup, by the way.
He is in the lineup officially? Okay. So he's playing tonight. He sucks now, in case you didn't know. This season, he has had 23 at-bats. He's 0 for 23 with 13 strikeouts. He played yesterday against the Yankees. They lost 15-3 for Baltimore. He was 0 for 4 with 2 Ks. He has not had a hit since last September 14th, and you're wondering, the number is now at 44 consecutive at-bats, 44 consecutive, without getting a hit. The all-time Major League Baseball record was set back in 2011 by a Giant and a Dodger, but at the time a Dodger, Eugenio Velez, remember him fondly, he had a over 46 stretch during the 2011 season, which changed up the record by one. There was a couple of guys who shared over 45s. So Chris Davis today, if you're looking for something to watch that's entertaining tonight, will Chris Davis start 0 for 3 tonight to set the all-time record?
I'm pulling for that to happen.
You want him to set the all-time record?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're this close, you might as well...
go for an... What if he strikes out his first three times and then like hits a home run in his fourth at bat?
That would sum up Chris Davis's career, I think, pretty aptly. Now, this is no different than if the Blazers are down 3-0 in round one this year. And by the way, I know you guys think I want this. I don't want that to happen. But if they are, I will be rooting for them to get swept. Because at that point, you have already come that close to being the best in a negative story. You might as well be the best.
You mean the worst?
Well, worst best, yes.
the best at being worst.
Yes.
That's what you are.
That's what I want.
If you also are wondering what Davis did last year, he set a Major League Baseball record for lowest batting average for a qualified player. Do you know what his batting average? Take a guess at what his batting average was last season.
162 or something?
He hit 168 last year. Dude, look, I get that he signed a bloated contract, and it's hard to get out of these things in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Like, don't you just throw some money at him? Maybe Baltimore's tanking, so they want him in the lineup to go 0-for-4 every night.
Marco Estrada is the starter for the A's that he'll be facing.
So where are you guys going? Are you rooting for
Hell
or against?
Hell yes, you're rooting for this to happen.
Yeah. It's the Orioles. Come on.
He needs three more at-bats without a hit, and he sets the record at 0-for-47, 47 consecutive at-bats. So keep an eye on that bad boy tonight. Well, we'll see. We'll see if it lives up to the hype.
Would you rather have that's a good one. Would you rather have a completely unmemorable career or a record for a negative stat?
Eugenio Velez is a great example of that. Nobody remembers him outside of Dodgers and Giants fans, probably.
Give me the negative stat.
You want that? Dude, one time, I went 0-for-49.
We could all be like, remember that time the Blazers lost 14 straight playoff games? we all witnessed it.
You'll get a hold on to that until the next team loses 15 in a row. There you go. Hey, who's a better basketball player? 90% of you said Dwayne Wade. Thank you. And how you feeling about a Blazer-Jazz series? 57% of people are taking the Blazers to win the series. 52%. 5% of you say it'll be over in 4 or 5. Blazers in a sweep. Bring it. Enjoy Virginia and Texas Tech tonight. Hopefully it doesn't put you to sleep. I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow. We got some other baseball stuff to get to tomorrow on the show. Nick Saban is still an old fuddy-duddy. We didn't get to that because we talked about hot tubs. Thank you for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number One's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.